at vers 5. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel begins with the conversion of Zacchaeus. Now, I recall preaching on Zacchaeus, maybe a year, 2 years ago. But over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the Lord dealing with the man with the palsy, the man that was deaf and dumb and so on. And when you come back to Zacchaeus and you look at it, you discover that you can continue coming back to these portions of Scripture and you can learn all the time. The depths of the Scripture, how much you can learn out of one part of the history of the Lord's life in this world. You could spend Sabbath after Sabbath preaching on one account like this. That account itself is divided into two. There is the conversion of Zacchaeus, and then there is the confession that Zacchaeus makes. There is conversion, and then his confession. Now today we want to simply deal with his conversion. What a conversion, a publican, a rich man. And he comes and ultimately is brought to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and call him his Lord. What a wonderful account that is. What a wonderful thing it is when someone is able to say he has been brought out of darkness and he's been brought into the marvelous light of God's grace. What a wonderful thing it is when someone is able to say, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Three things we want to look at with regards to Zacchaeus. Where was it that this took place? Where was it took place? Who is it that it happened to? And how did it happen? Where did it take place? It took place in Jericho. Who was it that it occurred to? It was Zacchaeus. And how did it happen? The word of the Lord, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He looked upon him and he called him. And these are the three things that we want to look at for a short period this morning. Where is it? Who is it? And how did it happen? First of all, where did it take place? Well, we are told that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Ah, you remember Jericho, don't you? Jericho, way back in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel crossed into the promised, crossed over into the land, the promised land, there was Jericho, with all its mighty walls, and the people of Jericho. Do you remember how when Joshua came and they circled seven times, and then when they cried out, the walls of Jericho tumbled down? And if you want to know what is said of Jericho, there was a curse placed upon Jericho. Listen to it in Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. For he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. It's fulfilled in Ahab. Here is a city that was cursed. Cursed is the man that will rebuild this city. And when Joshua and the children of Israel came in, there was one that was saved, Rahab. How she was delivered out of that curse, how she was delivered out of Jericho. And now the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Jericho. And what happens? There's one person whom the Lord blesses in Jericho. A city that's cursed. A city that when you go back and you see, a city that whose walls were destroyed. and a curse pronounced upon it. Yet when the Lord Jesus comes to it, he brings a blessing. He brings a blessing even to that cursed place. He brings a blessing to Zacchaeus. Now immediately, we ought to learn today, and we ought to be encouraged by that today. Here is a Zacchaeus in a city that's cursed. A man himself who is a publican and a sinner, in a place that is cursed. And yet the Lord's, God's grace and mercy reached down and plucked that sinner out of the fire as a brand out of the burning. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did for Zacchaeus in a cursed city, the Lord can do for hell-deserving sinners even today. How many sinners are there today that are found in places that are cursed? Dens of iniquity on the Lord's day. Who are engaged in activities in places that are cursed. They're not interested in the blessing of the Lord. They're not interested in the gospel. But today they are entertaining themselves in places that are abominations. But be encouraged. The Lord can deliver a sinner. Because the Lord, if he can deliver a sinner out of Jericho, if he can bring a Zacchaeus and bless a Zacchaeus, then the same gospel today, the same power of the gospel today, is able to draw even the chief of sinners out of dens of iniquity, out of places that are cursed, and bring them to be blessed. What a wonderful encouragement it is then that the Lord will bless such a man. And that brings us, just by way of an introduction, seeing where it is that this takes place. But that is, let us go on and spend some time considering who it is. Because even the Holy Spirit, as he brings the writer to record this, as he brings Luke to put this down on paper, it's as though he's even saying, look at what great mercy there is here. When he says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold. Why doesn't he just say, and there was a man there called Zacchaeus? If it's in the word behold, it's as though he's saying, look at this, even this type of man. Look at the type of man that the Lord is going to meet when he passes through Jericho. Behold, it's a Zacchaeus. He's not coming to one who is righteous. He's not coming to one who is a godly man. He's coming to one who is a publican. He's coming to a rich man. He's coming to a Zacchaeus. And it's as though the Holy Spirit is leaving for us to say, behold what kind of man this is that the Lord is now going to encounter. Can a publican be converted? Can one of the chief of the publicans be converted? And is it even possible for a rich man to be converted? You see, it's as if the Holy Spirit here is saying to us, behold this kind of man. Zacchaeus. You know the name Zacchaeus means? It's just, honest, pure. Is Zacchaeus just, honest, and pure? He's got a name, but that's all it is. You know, there are many people in our country today, and they have a name. They have the name Christian. But that's all they've got. It's a name. Nothing more. Remember how the Lord said that when he wrote to one of the churches, you have a name to live, but you're dead. Well, there are many churches today, they have a name to live, but they're dead. They have the name Christian, just as Zacchaeus had the name pure, honest, honourable. Because he was none of these things. But again, it gives us an encouragement. Gives you an encouragement. Because although this man only had a name to live, he only had a name that was honourable, yet the Lord blessed him. Because he is a man that's dishonourable, impure, Here's a man that is greedy. Here is a man that covets money. Here is a man that's taken up with nothing more than his work and his labour. He's the chief of the publicans. He set his sights on getting up there. That's what his heart's full of. And you say to yourself, he's got no friends. I believe he has got friends. He's not certainly respected by the Jews because he's a publican. He collects their taxes. He fiddles them. There's poor in Israel. Why is there poor in Israel? An Israelite should never be a beggar. That was the law in Israel. An Israelite was never to be a beggar. A Christian is never a beggar. But in Israel, they were full of beggars when the Lord came. Why? Because of the Zacchaeus of this world. That's how Israel was left, with beggars and nothing else. Did he have any friends? I believe he did. You know why? The Bible tells us. The poor is hated even of his neighbour, but the rich have many friends. Is that not true of the prodigal son? When the prodigal son went down into a far country, he had plenty of friends when he had money. As soon as he had no money, his friends evaporated. What kind of friends did he have? The Bible tells us there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus Christ is not like the friends that the prodigal son had. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the friends that Zacchaeus had before. The Lord Jesus Christ is the friend of friends. It's the widow's stay. He's the one who blesses with great blessings. He is the one in whom all our riches are to be found. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one thing that this man had that at least he was brought to have that ultimately made him blessed, and that was he had a desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if he went out into the streets of Morningside and out into the streets of Edinburgh and out into the streets of London and Liverpool and Manchester and all the streets of our towns, and you found people who were desiring and wanting to see Jesus. And doesn't have a desire to see Jesus. And this man, all he had an eye for before was getting on in his work. Money. He had an eye to his own prosperity. Picture I have of him is someone who probably never left his office. Casey, Mr. Penny. Because his heart was full of looking for nothing else but the prosperity of this one. But now, he's left his office. He has a desire to see Jesus Christ. And he would want to see him by sight. Jesus would be passing by, and he wanted just to see him by sight. You won't see Jesus passing by sight, but do you see him by faith? Do you have a desire to see Jesus Christ with the eye of faith? Do you have the desire today that you would see no man but Jesus Christ? Is that your overriding desire in the world? Do you know in the days of our Lord, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, they dragged themselves. They lowered men down through the ceilings in order that they would be brought to Jesus Christ. The Queen of Sheba heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and she went a long journey halfway around the world at that time in order that she would see and hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there's one greater than Solomon here. Will you move in modern terms? Will you move heaven and earth in order to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you move heaven and earth
Now as soon as we seek to know and to see the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure of one thing, that there will be hindrances put in your way. As soon as you begin to have a desire to see and to come and to witness the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know that there will be hindrances placed in your way. There were two particular instances and hindrances to this man. First of all, as you know, the crowd. Not the first time this has happened. We've looked at the four men who carried their friend in a bed, one at each end, and they brought him and they tried to get in. They couldn't get into the house because of the press. And sometimes, as we says, it takes four men. Sometimes it takes four to get a hold of that bed. And sometimes it takes four to bring them and to lay them before the Lord Jesus Christ. Be wonderful if there were four people in here carrying someone in prayer to the foot of Christ. Bringing a sinner that is perhaps in the midst of the congregation or your family or your friends, and you carry them there. You can't carry it on your own. You've got to, each of you gather, get an aid, bring him in. And the other man, remember, he was deaf and dumb. And there was a multitude there, and the Lord says, come aside. He took him out of the multitude. He was going to deal with this man on his own. And he wasn't going to speak to him, because the man was deaf. So he touches his ears, and he touches his lips. He meets the man exactly where the man was. He couldn't speak and he couldn't hear, so the Lord gives him signs to tell him. Touches his ears, touches his eyes. You see, the Lord takes him aside. There's a multitude, and this man has a multitude there. He can't get near the Lord Jesus Christ because he's small in stature. That's the second hindrance he's got. How many of us are small in stature when it comes to faith? Are we small in stature when it comes to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's because we're not standing tall. We don't have that faith that will see Jesus. That's very often our problem. This man was small in stature. And he couldn't see the Lord. You know something? It's a wonderful thing. He couldn't see Jesus because he was behind the crowd and he was too small. And he said, but Jesus saw him, you see. That's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus saw him. Jesus knew all about him before he ever climbed the tree. Jesus saw him before he ever saw Jesus. And that's true, you know. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's coming to seek and to save his beloved people. And Zacchaeus is there in the back of the crowd, perhaps jumping, trying to see, and he can't see. What's he going to do? There are all these hindrances. And the answer is the tree. The tree. Let's go to the tree. You know, it's the same answer. Not the same way, it's the same answer you've got today. You must go to that tree. You must go to that cursed tree. Zacchaeus is going to go to a blessed tree. You must go to that cursed tree. The tree in which he died and suffered. You must come to the cross. And you must come and bow at the cross. And you must see there a suffering Savior. You must climb that tree of life. You must come and behold these hands. Thomas, look. It is I. Look. Look at the marks on my hands. Look at the pierced side. I have been to Calvary. I have suffered on the tree. Well, Zacchaeus goes to a tree. And I think the last time we preached on it, we mentioned how he became like a little child, didn't he? Here's the chief of the publicans. And he's now climbing a tree like little children. Children climb trees, you see. They go up trees. They love to climb things. They love to climb up trees. They like to go up there and sit up there. They're small, you see. Children are small, so they like to get up the tree and climb the tree. And here's Zacchaeus, like a little child, climbing the tree. What will people say of him? What will the crowd say? What will the people of Jericho say of him? What will his neighbours say of him? What will they think of him? Who cares? Who cares? I'm going to climb that tree because I want to see Jesus Christ. I'm going to climb that tree because that's where Jesus is. He will pass by there. And it doesn't matter what people think of me. You know, you come to Jesus Christ and you'll discover what the world thinks of you. You come to Jesus Christ and perhaps in your home, your parents or your brothers and sisters or your children or your wife or whatever, say, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? And your neighbours will say, well, I used to go here, there and everywhere, and they'll not go there now. And young people will go to school, and you're in school, and you'll say to your pals in school, I believe in Jesus Christ. And they'll say, what's wrong here? You remember Zacchaeus. He became just like a child. He climbed that tree, and it didn't matter what anybody else was going to say. He was going to climb that tree because he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he passed by. Why that tree? Why that sycamore tree? Why did he climb up that sycamore tree? We're told because Jesus would pass by there. Are we desirous to be where Jesus passes by? Do we love to be with the Lord's people on the Lord's day? Because Jesus passes by in the preaching of the word? Do we have a desire in the Lord's day, morning and evening? Prayer meeting? Do we have a desire to climb that tree and it doesn't matter what else will come? I want to be there because Jesus will pass by, and as he passes by, perhaps I'll receive a blessing. Thomas missed a blessing because he wasn't near for him. Zacchaeus would have missed a blessing had he not gone to that and climbed that tree. But he climbed that tree because that's where Jesus was going to pass by. And if Jesus was going to pass by there, that's where he was going to be. Wherever Jesus Christ is preached, where the word is preached, where Jesus Christ is lifted up in his glory, let us desire to be there. Because you never know the day that you are there when Jesus will give you the greatest blessing of all. And that brings us to the third thing. How was Zacchaeus blessed and converted? Well, he climbs the tree. He's wanting to see Jesus. That's all he wants, is to see him. Like the woman that comes in and touches the hem of his garment. All I want to do is touch the hem of his garment. He's like the man who comes in. And sometimes they get it round the wrong way, you see. The man who was the paralytic. They say that all he wanted was to be, for his paralysis to be cured. And he got the sins forgiven as well. It's not, it's the other way about. It's completely the other way about. The first thing Jesus says to him, thy sins are forgiven thee. And I'll tell you, supposing this man sat there and was a paralytic the rest of his day, he would be the happiest man in the world. But he got another blessing. And he got this blessing, not for the man's sake, but for the Pharisee's sake. In order that you will know that I, the Son of Man, have power to forgive sins, arise, pick up thy bed and walk. He got another blessing. He got more than he ever wanted. And Zacchaeus is exactly the same. He gets a greater blessing than he ever imagined. There he is up that tree. And before he's even, the picture I've got is before he's even up there, and before he can even see, before he's looking, Jesus stops and looks at him. Christ has come to Zacchaeus. It's not Zacchaeus really that's come to Christ. Zacchaeus has a desire to see him. Zacchaeus is climbing that tree, but Jesus has come to Jericho. Jesus has seen Zacchaeus long before now, and he stops, and among all the crowd, there's one man that Jesus stops and speaks to. He knows his heart, you see. Just like the man who was the paralytic, he knew his heart. He knew what that man was needing. He knew his heart. He knew what was troubling him. It was his sins. His friends maybe didn't know that, but he knew it, and the Lord knew it. And now the Lord knows this Zacchaeus. He's seeking him. Satan, you see, at one time had a hold of Zacchaeus. The world, the flesh, and the devil was everything that filled his heart. And perhaps today you are here, and all that fills your heart is the world, the flesh, and the devil. How are you going to break that? How are you going to stop that? Many of us know occasions when, oh, if we could only see Jesus. But our hearts are tied and filled with the love of the world, the flesh, and the devil. How are you going to do it? The fact is, you can't do it. But what you can't do, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do. He's able to do it. And how does he do it? It's like King Ahasuerus. Remember the king in the time of Esther. Esther is a young woman, and she's got to go in and speak to the king. And she wants to go in and speak to the king. But how's she going to go in? She gets into the presence of the king, and she can be destroyed in a moment of time. What she needed to see was the scepter. And when she saw the scepter stretched out, she could lay hold on that, and she could come forward. What Zacchaeus needed was the scepter of the words of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got that. Jesus says to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. He knew. He knew Zacchaeus that was up the tree. He knew Nathanael that was under the tree. Remember when he met Nathanael? He knew Nathanael. He was under the tree. And he spoke about Nathanael. He knew exactly who Nathanael was. And now he speaks Zacchaeus. He knows his name. He knows who he is. You know, he knows us better than we know ourselves. What a word it was that Zacchaeus got. He is found of them that seek him with their whole heart. Do we seek the Lord Jesus Christ with our whole heart? Oh, we may seek Jesus. We may say today, well, I do. I wish I could see Jesus, you know. But that's not the question that's been put before us here. Is do you seek him with all your heart? Because he is found of them that seek him with their whole heart. He is near unto them that call upon him. Come down, he says. Zacchaeus, before you've been too small. Now you're too high. You need to come down. That's true of a sinner. One minute he's too high. It's too small. It's too low. Next minute it's too high. That's the way we often are, isn't it? It's like, I think I mentioned before, like Peter. You know, Peter, when Christ came to wash his feet, he said, "You're not going to wash me at all." The Lord says, "Well, if I don't wash you, and I'm, oh well, that's why you washed me all over. It's too far, you see." One minute we're down here, the next minute we're up there. We're too high, we're too low, we're too hot, we're too cold. We're too quick or we're too slow. Peter's too confident, then he betrays the Lord. You see, that's the way we are, you see. Zacchaeus, I know who you are. And you're going to get a greater blessing than you've even thought of. You wanted to see me. Well, come down. I'm going to abide in your home this day. That's even more than Zacchaeus thought or even imagined. He thought that if he just climbed the tree, he would get a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman that touched the hem of his garment, if she just touched it, she would be whole and she could go off. Not at all. The Lord says, Zacchaeus, come down. You're going to get a greater blessing than you can even ever ask or think or imagine, because I'm going to come and I'm going to abide in your home. A publican. And I said, imagine what the crowd are saying here. What do the people say? Here's someone that comes and sits with publicans and sinners. We think he should come and sit with the scribes and the Pharisees and the really religious men of the day. We think he should come and sit with all the dignitaries of the day. Perhaps if he came to Edinburgh, he could come and sit with all the mighty men of Edinburgh. But he comes and he sits with publicans and sinners. Is that not the greatest encouragement that you can have today? Jesus Christ coming and abiding in the home of a publican. A man who in the face of the world is nothing. A rich man that's not worthy of anything. A publican and a thief and a covetous man, taking money from other people. That's the type of man he is. Why should the Lord Jesus Christ come and sit and abide with that man in his home? But how wonderful. That's the very man. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. My ways are not your ways. Who you think should be converted, who you think will be converted, will be turned upside down when the chief of sinners is brought into the kingdom. When someone going with the very going and asking for the very documents to go and persecute the Church of Christ on his way to Damascus to persecute the Lord's people, the blood of the Lord's people in his hands, is the very man that the Lord converts. And we said last week, Manasseh, having the streets of Jerusalem flowing with the blood of the saints, is humble to the dust and acknowledges the Lord. And I'm sure that many of us have heard and seen and witnessed some of the greatest sinners. I'll give you this example. I don't think many here will know, but when I was younger, I kicked over the place. Was out and about like many a young person, raised up in the church, left the church, stopped going to the church, went to dances and everything. When I was in Uig and Skye one time, I remember being in a dance there and there was a man fighting. Big man, strong, strong man he was. His shirt was torn off his back. And a rage was through. I remember that sight to this day because I was a lot younger than he was. I was just a late teens. And it frightened me, you see, because this man was in a rage. I never saw that man again until many years later. Himself and myself were office bearers in the church in Uig. He became an elder, I was a deacon. What the grace of God had done in that man's life. Wonderful. Changed. We were fellow office bearers together. No longer was he there sprawling in a hall in a drunken stupor. He was at the prayer meeting and you could hear him pray. And he was presenting, singing the Lord's song. How wonderful. What grace will do. Well, come down, he says. Come down and make no delay. Come down with haste, he says. You can almost imagine Zacchaeus losing his foothold, losing his hands as he's clambering down. He's climbed up there. Sometimes it's easier to climb up a tree than it is to come down out of a tree. Once you start to get up there and you look down and you try to come down, it can be very difficult to get down. I can imagine him, his foot getting hold all the way to until he's down. Make haste, he said. He told me to come down immediately. My friend, make haste. Make haste. How quick sinners are to make work of unrighteousness, aren't they? You go out into the world today and you will find the world busy Busy, busy, busy. Making no delay in works of unrighteousness. The one thing that the world doesn't slumber in, that's what it comes to, in the employment of sin. Busy, busy, busy. What about your soul? Are you busy? Are you serious? Are you delayed considering the things of your soul and the destiny to where your soul will go? When it comes to salvation, are you industrious? Are you making no delay? Ah, sinner, come to Christ. Rest on Him alone. Whatever hindrances there may be, climb at you. That you would see Jesus passing by. And that you would receive the greatest blessing of all. That you would hear His word. Zacchaeus, put your own name in there. Put your name in there. That you would hear Him calling you personally, individually. Make no delay. Come down. Because I am now going to abide in your home. What a different home that was. Makes a difference to a home. What a different home it was for Zacchaeus. People coming in would notice the difference. They must have noticed the difference. They heard his words. They saw what he said. He made a confession. We are not going to look at the confession today. But when he's converted, he makes confession of it. Have you a confession in your life? A confession that says, come, and I'll tell you what he has done for my soul. Come. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has saved me. The Lord has delivered me. This evening, God willing, we hope to look at the Acts of the Apostles. The first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. The beginning of that journey. We'll look at the journey, but we'll look at the beginning of it. When he takes the gospel. What a changed man Paul was. Do we know what it is to be converted by God's grace? Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we praise thy name for thy goodness and thy mercy to us. We would seek thy grace this day. We pray that thou would give us to see that within our hearts there is a den of vipers. And but by thy grace we would be sunk under the weight of the world and the flesh and the devil. But we praise thy name for the grace of the gospel that saves sinners such as Zacchaeus. Delivering him out even out of a place like Jericho that was cursed. Cursed is the man that builds this city. And yet thou delivered such a one whose heart was filled with the world. And today, Zacchaeus is in thy presence. And we bless thee today that thou hast saved him and delivered him and brought him into thy kingdom. And he is with the saints in glory, singing the praises of the Lamb. Bless us now, pardon us our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 145.